Ah, yeah, hacking in. Hacking, man. You know what? The Red Pill News is here for you. The Red Pill News gives you a red pill analysis of the world and the things that are going on that affect you and I. And sometimes they don't affect you and I. What I like is these stories. I keep following, man, these people. My God. I just laugh my ass off because I kind of take it as a lesson of what not to be. You know, and crazy news this week. Crazy stuff happening, you know. And I like to dissect people's brains. And you know, sometimes you can't because you don't have permission. Sometimes you just have to kind of like, okay, this is the way things are, and people wear their everything on their sleeve. They will, unless they're masters of keeping their emotion in, they're going to be the ones who will immediately tell you what their weak points are. So that's just the way it goes. I was always taught to keep quiet. You know, not tell, I mean, yak away all day, but not say anything about yourself. You know, don't put things out there that you don't want out there. Don't share things with people that don't deserve to hear them. I've been in relationships where, you know, you share your tender moments of weakness as a child and all the other stuff, and then all that gets you is an attack later on, of where people use things against you to hurt you more. So, you know, don't give them the ammo. It sucks to have to live like that. Does everyone have to live like that? I think most people I know have gone through that. So I'd say, yeah. So I want to start with a sad note. Peter Robbins, right? You know who Peter Robbins is? He just committed suicide. Sad note. So Peter Robbins was the original voice of Charlie Brown, right? And he was 65 years old. A series, you know, Charlie Brown when I was a kid was really cool. Everybody loved Charlie Brown. I didn't like Charlie Brown himself. I was a Snoopy person and still am. So the rest of the people on there are all annoying. That's why Snoopy kind of stays off on the side, takes care of his own business. He got a little Woodstock he hangs out with, and Snoopy's in his own world. He doesn't let the outside world affect him. Anytime that ever happened, he stepped to it, went out there and fixed the situation, right? Hell of a dog, Snoopy is. So Peter Robbins, the original voice of Charlie Brown, in the 1960s Peanuts show, died last week at the age of 65. And sad, you know, mental health. This is why I want to talk about this, because I think that people need to hear it. You know, if you think you're suffering alone, you're not. You know, and depression affects many people, most people, especially in these times. You have to understand that you're better off being here than not. Your family, your friends, the ones who care for you, they don't want you to go. So you're not just living for yourself. You're also living for the people around you, sometimes people that you need to protect and help. And then, you know, if it's not the best way out, is it? The best way is to stay on your path, you know, and get help. Get help, but worthy help. You know, sometimes there's people out there that aren't so worthy in you know, psychiatric fields or whatever. But really, what you need to do is you need friends. You need people who are going to care about you, not some shrink you're going to pay some money to. They're not going to love you, care about you until you're out of the office and they count their money. Does that sound cold? Listen, it's a job, is what they do. They get paid to do it, right? A lot of people emotionally need more support than that. It's not just sharing your problems with someone trying to talk you through them with different solutions. If you know what I tell people to do, I tell people to volunteer. If you're depressed, go out there and volunteer. Go out there and spend your time doing some good work for other people. You know, it doesn't even matter how much time. You know, you want to meet people, go out there and meet people. You're not going to meet people staying home. Now with COVID, makes it harder. Oh no, you got to hook up with people online, right? That's what they say. Use dating apps and all the other stuff. I'm on Facebook. I see all the crap they throw at me. I don't even want a girl that's on Facebook, let alone, you know what I mean? That's where the whole thing starts. The problems start is with social media. These girls taking pictures of themselves, all little sexy pictures. Hey, listen, you're in a relationship with somebody. You're taking sexy pictures of yourself and putting them out, and then talking. You got 250 guys saying how hot you are. Talk about making the relationship unstable. Do you really need that kind of attention? All right. So Robbins, a California native, began voicing Charlie Brown just at 9 years old, right? He provided the voice of the title character in the 1965 A Charlie Brown's Christmas. In 1966, It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Long time ago. Robbins battled lifelong mental illness, struggled with addiction, and had several run-ins with the law as an adult. He didn't try to give him that Charlie Brown. Yeah. Oh, man. Why is it always that the police are there when I commit a crime? Why is that? Hey, Linus would be sitting next to him locked in handcuffs. I don't know, Charlie Brown. It's just dumb luck, you know? So, in 2013, Robbins pleaded guilty to threatening and stalking both his ex-girlfriend and a plastic surgeon who gave her a breast enhancement he paid for. Now, see, your first mistake is paying for somebody else's boobs. Don't do it. You know, if you're married, it's your wife. There's a psychological thing going on, unless it's medical and, you know, they had something or whatever and they needed a boob, fine. But, you know, enhancement is, it's all mental, right? It's physical, but it's mental. But it's mental, like, the guy's paying for him, and then, like, other dudes looking at them. like that, right? So he was stalking her. And that's just recent, 2013. So he's not hanging out with the right kind of women, obviously. I'm just going to put that out there. He also spent time behind bars for making criminal threats to a San Diego County sheriff. After his release from prison in 2019, he discussed his time behind bars in an interview with Fox 5 San Diego. It's a Tory channel. A Tory channel. I would recommend to anybody that has bipolar disorder to take it seriously because your life can turn around in the span of a month. A month. Your life could turn around in a span of a minute. He said he came out of prison and he's a better person. He's much more humble, grateful, and thanks that he lived through the experiences and then he killed himself. So, you know, out of all the Charlie Browns, you're the Charlie Browniest, man. I will say that. And I'll tell you, I think that Lucy had something to do with it. Don't tell me I'm wrong. The tormentor, Lucy the tormentor, with the football, yanking that football away, you know, talk about send you into a massive depression. And that was his shrink. You know, think about that. That was his shrink, and she yanked the football away. Oh, God. So, depression. There was a story I was following, right? And let me find it first. So there was a story I was following about this kid in China. And a Chinese teen sold at birth plans to sue his parents who rejected him a second time. So Li Zuhao. I couldn't get that one out. Li Zuhao, 17, said, let's see, he's going to sue his biological mother and father. They both rejected him. So they sold him as a baby to another family. The parents who bought him, both of them died, right? and then he was taken care of by the aunt and the grandmother and whoever else, you know, but they didn't want him. They weren't loving him. He was just moving him around. Then he got into college. I mean, he was in school doing his thing. He's getting his degree. And then he reached out in the media to find his original parents, which he did. Both of those people had gotten a divorce from one another and remarried to somebody else. So he asked if he could go live with them, one of them, or have money for an apartment because he was homeless and going to school. And they said no. And he killed himself. He killed himself, you know, 17 years old. And it really comes down to this world we're in can be such a selfish, miserable place sometimes, can't it? You know? And I was following this story because I was interested. And all of a sudden, the next day, you know, I opened up the story and he killed himself. And it's like, you know, this was like Monday night where he killed himself. So it's you wonder, you often wonder about the world and about people and the direction that people want to go, you know, even if they have an understanding of want, you know, a direction of evolvement. And I would think that is full of love and kindness. I judge people by what they do, not by what they say. You know, words to me are you know, basically useless. Yeah, they can be hurtful and whatever, but whatever people say they are is not. It's the opposite, right? So my heart goes out for the people who are suffering, and there's always help for you. You know, you may have to dig a little bit to find the right help, but there's always help for you. There's people out there that understand what you're going through, and it's better to help others and get that enjoyment and that feeling, you know. But imagine this kid sold by his parents and then rejected, you know, then his other parents died and rejected by his parents. Oh, my God. And that's one goddamn story on this whole planet. One, you know? So, yeah, that's what's going on out there. Anyway, then I'm reading things like, you know, if you have a show, like I don't have guests on the show because people irritate me mainly. And it's only a 1-hour show. And if I have guests on, I have to let them talk. I don't get to talk, you know, and it's my show. But I feel if you have a show where you have guests on, your whole aim is to talk to the guest and let them talk, right? I've been on shows where the guests have tried to, I mean, the people on the show try to talk more than me. It ain't going to happen. I take control of a conversation. You know, it just is what it is after you do this long enough, you know, especially when you do shows with other people. So, Drew Barrymore, you know, she's an actor and she's gone to the wayside, kind of. She has her own show now, you know, during the day. Some kind of, the Drew Barrymore show. There you go. And okay, so now she has guests on the show. And then here she is. She has Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's aide, on her show. Oh my God, you could probably ask Huma a million questions and just kind of pound away. What does she do? This is typical me routine of these people. And now you're seeing them processed out there in the world where it's the me generation. They're all about themselves. They don't even see anybody else, nobody. The Drew Barrymore doesn't even matter if she has a guest on because it's about her and always about her, right? So anyway, and she would never have been famous if she didn't have famous parents, famous people to put her forward. So yeah, she would just been whatever. So Drew Barrymore, actress and host, 46 years old, opened up about the traumatic moment when her pregnancy was leaked in 2012. So she has Huma Abedin on. She's going to start talking about the traumatic moment when her pregnancy was leaked in 2012. It was 10 freaking years ago. 10 years ago. That's like Facebook alerted me that a picture I put up 11 years ago wasn't part of their standards. And then they're like, well, we're not going to block, you know, we're not going to take the picture off of there, but we're going to block it. It was some stupid meme or whatever. 10, 11 years ago. Is that what you're spending your time on? Really? And it's no big deal to begin with? Very funny. Very funny, actually. But so she said, I was walking out of my OBGYN, and I had just found out I was pregnant, Barrymore told longtime Hillary Clinton aide Huma Abedin on her show. I walked out of her office, and someone I work with, Chris Miller, got all these calls. We know she's pregnant. We're breaking the story. And he's like, you always talk like this. We're a no-comment group. Come on, you're being silly, she explained. And they were like, well, we'll take a look at this. You know, so number one, nobody cared that Drew Barrymore was pregnant. This story is a fantasy story on her and her alone. Nobody cared, even if it was in some National Enquirer. Oh, Drew Barrymore is pregnant. Nobody cares. Unless it was an alien baby. Nobody cares. This is her fantasy story, having Huma there talking about herself from some crap from 10 years ago. This is why this woman shouldn't have a talk show. She got no ratings. Nobody watches this stuff. So you think, how the hell is she on there? Aren't there better people that are more deserving? I think so. Huma's sitting there looking at her like an idiot. Look at Huma's face. She's like, oh, God, I got to sit here for an hour and listen to this crap. Thank God she's not asking me any questions. That's what Huma's thinking. Thank God she's not asking me any questions. Go ahead and talk about your pregnancy, girl. I'm all for you. Barrymore went on to explain that photographers caught her walking out of the building carrying the sonogram image in her hand, which mistakenly outed the pregnancy. She's walking out of the building holding the sonogram image in her hand up to the paparazzi, right? That she probably hired to put out there to begin with, because nobody cares about Drew Barrymore. In the world of insignificant, even if she shaved her head and took umbrellas and was beating cars out there in traffic like Britney Spears did, she still wouldn't have any of that support. Okay. Barrymore added, when people find out your deepest, darkest secrets, it's so traumatizing. So her deepest, darkest secret was a baby. Is that mental? Her deepest, darkest secret is a baby? It traumatized me. Let me tell you, man, there's a lot of crap out there that'll traumatize you. And someone finding out you're pregnant ain't one of them, especially when you're the one putting it out there. The outing happened in February of 2012, soon after she became engaged to Will Kopelman, had her anchor baby. The couple later split in 2016. There's that anchor baby right there. But together they shared daughters, Olive, 9, and Frankie, 7. Two anchor babies. Following the leak of her first pregnancy, Barrymore added that the choice to share the news of her second pregnancy, she did it herself. She ran out holding a sonogram to the paparazzi saying, look. All Huma's sitting there looking at her like, Huma's used to being around selfish people. Yeah, she didn't work for Hillary. Come on. I think Huma's desensitized. She could probably deal with anybody. Last time, I never commented on it, and people just stalked me the entire time. So, yes, it's happening. It's true. I tried to keep it a secret for a long time. This is from 10 years ago. These days, Barrymore has an open book about the experience of dating as a single mom. Oh, my God. She's transitioning into dating as a single mom. Oh, there's a picture of her. Man, she put on some pounds. Oh, my God. Not that that's a bad thing. Right? A couple extra pounds there. So it's her. It's people coming in, and they just sit there, and she talks the whole time, and they don't get a word in edgewise. I had never realized and said out loud that I don't know how to date with kids. She's dating kids? Ugh. Ugh, you sicko. Ah. The actress said, gotta date with kids. Yeah, because you're popping them out, and then you have no want, need, nor desire to stay with the guy. That is a lot of women do that. You see them out there, they're on Facebook, they're looking, trying to date. They got 3 or 4 kids in that picture with them. Looking for a dude. 3 or 4 kids. I think you already found a few dudes. At least one. Maybe more. And what happened to them? Those are the ones that will suck you into the world of doom, man. You don't want that. You guys out there, I will tell you, you don't want it. Find something better. That's going to be more applicable to your life and happiness. That's all. That and anybody with a kid, you dudes out there, you know what? If you're with a woman with a child, you will never be number one. And I will say that. The kid will always be number one to them because it's their kids. They're just looking for the wallet. That's it. And that's the harsh truth. But that's what's going on out there. Women are telling their sons not to get married, or their young sons, because it's a bad business deal, you know? Or even having children, to be careful. So, man, there's a whole thing going on in the culture that needs to be understood and fixed. But then there's the government paying into it also, you know, supporting that whole thing, right? Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. So this woman's trying to date with kids, right? And my kid's dad is happily remarried with the most wonderful woman in the world. And my children have the extraordinary stepmom. Oh, great. And you know, that's the opposite of what she's thinking, because the kids go there and, you know, the new mom is all stable. She's probably like really amazing. Allie Mitchler. Let me see what the hell she looks like. We got to do this. You know, whenever you have like those kids, the exes and whatever. Here she's on the cover of Vogue. Let's see. Oh my God, look at that. So she looks like kind of Drew Barrymore, but young. Oh, here's William Kobelman. That's the dude that Drew Barrymore had the kids with. And look what an interesting couple they are. Yeah, so she looks like Drew Barrymore 20 years ago, right? How old is she? How old is she? Let me see. She looks to be probably about 32, I would say. Let me see. 33. Wow, I'm good. 1987. So she's a lot younger than Drew Barrymore, who is, what, 45? And then she's got to deal with that. These people wear their everything on their sleeve. Who was sitting there? Oh, no, here she is crying. Yeah, it's probably not even a Drew. I'm sorry. It's not even a Drew Barrymore show without her blubbering on TV. A day without Drew Barrymore crying about her crap is like a day without sunshine. You know, man. Oh, here she is. Drew Barrymore sobs as she reflects on dating with kids. Oh, my God. This woman needs a psychiatrist team and backup. You got some kind of psychiatrist SWAT team thing? All right, let me finish the stupid stuff. So she's jealous of the hot Allie Mitchler. And super thin, super fit, nice mom. They got the private plane. The kids are going to go on the private plane with the new hot mom. And then Drew Barrymore is blubbering on TV to Huma. What a crappy life she has dating with kids. Sounds like they don't spend a lot of time with her. My children. Our process has been different. Our process have been different. Our process has been different. And their side of the street is so functional, and the whole, and it's happening. And I think I've been on the sidelines in a beautiful, honoring, purgatory. Oh my God. So she just told you right there. She's jealous, man. Jealous of the new one. Jealous of her hotness. Jealous of everything she has. She got the dude too, and to take care of the kids. And she's like, I'm in a beautiful, honoring purgatory. I believe that. I believe that she is living her own personal hell. I've been saying it's me. It's my choice. I'm not ready. I want to wait. She continued. How long are you going to wait? You're already 45. You got to get something going on. Got to work out. Do some stuff. Tighten up, man. Lose some of those pounds. Good for your body. Good for your mind, your body, your soul. I don't think I've said out loud it's really because I have these two daughters. What? That she's not going out because she has her two daughters. Ooh, failure. You know? Failure is not doing it, man. You can do something and mess up at it. That's not the same as failing. Failure is not doing it. She should get out there. But see, she's hating on herself because of her body image, man. I'm telling you, I know people. And after all the crazy ones I've been with, I definitely know them. I know the red flags. I know the stuff. I know the road and the territory, goddammit. You know what I mean? I made my mark. And I will tell you this, that she is hating on herself body-wise. You think they don't have nannies? You think they don't have people taking care of the kids? You think that she can't date someone without the kids even knowing about it? She's just got a lot of issues, a warehouse full going on up there in her brain. And again, these people, there were sex stars at one time. Maybe not her. I don't know her. They were significant in the way that they were sought after, very popular. That was her desperate attempt of trying to pull the paparazzi in, that she had the sonogram in her hand and they were waiting for her to come out the door. These people aren't even bright enough to take a picture and understand what the hell they're looking at, a sonogram in her hand or whatever. Come on, man. Desperate it is. So she said, this is just not about me being stuck. It's about when you're a single mom. It's a dynamic that I have probably not been able to figure out yet. Well, wait till the kids are grown. You'll figure it out then. They're getting on already. And that's okay. Have patience with ourselves. No, it's not okay when you're missing that time. I say work out. Do what you got to do. Get on that treadmill and go find your whatever. Go find your whatever. This girl, this Alexandra Mitchler, 33 years old, female, 5 feet 6 inches. Oh, man, there you go. What's she weigh? Got her weight in there? I bet they do. 53 kilograms. What the hell is that? 53 kilograms. This is America, god dang it. Throw kilograms in my ass. I gotta think what a kilo is. What do you think about it? Okay, 116 pounds. There you go. Make me think. I don't want to do that. I don't get paid to think. So everybody loves somebody sometime. Don't go on Drew Barry's show if you want to talk about what you got going on. You won't get a word in edgewise. Which leads me to what I want to talk about next. Did you hear about the monkey that like attacked this woman in Pennsylvania? There was a car crash. And then these monkeys were running all over the place. They were like infectious monkeys, like lab. This is like the beginning of every zombie movie, basically. A whole bunch of lab monkeys run amok to this lady, stop and try to help. The monkey like bit her in the face, spit at her, and now she's being treated. They don't know what the hell's wrong with her. They're treating her right now terrible treatments for like what the hell am I thinking about? May as well just read you the story. Trying to get my brain to work. They're treating her for rabies. But all right. So a woman who happened upon the Friday crash of a pickup towing a trailer transporting 100 monkeys is being treated after a monkey spit at her and she developed the pink eye symptoms, right? Started off like that. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals said that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is investigating the incident, which occurred in East Central Pennsylvania. So I gotta say this. Zombie movies started in Pennsylvania, right? You know, that's where all these guys, you know, Tom Savini lives in Pittsburgh. You had Romeo, you know, Alf, you know, whatever, and Night of the Living Dead. That came from an original story that came from Pennsylvania about the army reanimating an arm. And it went from that story to this zombie stuff, right? Or Living Dead, which aren't necessarily zombies. It actually is two different things. Living Dead and zombie is two different things. Anyway, so here's a bunch of monkeys running around middle of winter on the highway in Pennsylvania. 100 of them, which is a lot of monkeys. The accident involved the collision near Danville. Pennsylvania State Police said several monkeys had escaped. And let's see, Michelle Fallon, the Danville, Pennsylvania woman who came upon the crash. Let's see, so she and another motorist who stopped to help the other driver and said she thought she saw a cat run across the road. Since Fallon's comments about the incident have been in local news, she told USA Today some people are accusing her of being paid by the media to talk about the crash. There you go, that's weird. And for not using common sense after the incident. Now, me personally, if I'm going to witness something like this on the highway, the thing that I'm going to think about the most is getting the hell out of there, getting around the crash, getting around the monkeys, maybe shaking any monkeys off there, jumping on top of my Jeep, getting the hell out of there, right? When in doubt, get out, because I am not a monkey handler. I don't know what to do with monkeys, even if it was a bunch of whatever's running around. I don't know. Dogs and cats I can handle. Anything beyond that, forget it. And lab animals on top of that, you know, there's some stuff. Now the woman's being treated for all kinds of stuff. And these treatments are all horrible, you know? If I had been told, I would have never touched anything, Fallon said. Who's going to tell her? Hey, don't mess with that monkey. Okay? That monkey messed up. It's a lab monkey. You're going to get hurt. I have experience with monkeys. It's fine. People think that, like, they're the whisperers of everything. You know, you ever see those people get out of their car when there's a bear, like Yellowstone or something, or some buffalo, and they're walking up to it, put out their hand like it's some house pet, and they get charged. Here's some giant grizzly bear. Here, hello, bear. Little Yogi Bear, you know. So now she got the medical treatment after developing a cough, runny nose, and pink eye symptoms. And now, look at that poor freaked out monkey. They gotta stop testing on animals, period, man. You know? So really, some local residents, let's see, Fallon said, are making out like, oh, I have this new monkey virus. It's a monkey pox, and there's going to be an outbreak. It's just a monkey hissed in my face. That's all that happened. But now I have this terrible outbreak. I want to protect myself. Well, it is Danville. If you've ever been through that area, people don't take kindly to monkey pox in Danville. You know what I mean? Kristen Norland, a spokesperson for the Centers for Disease Control. Yeah, they have the dispatch units and whatever. They're going to have to probably, like, circle the town with some kind of fence and drop a big bomb on the place, man, and vaporize everybody. I think it's one of those types of things. If my movies are right, 28 days later, that did start with some monkeys, you know. And then, boom, look what happened. Let's see. So then, like, the Associated Press said that by the night that all 100 of the monkeys had been accounted for, and 3 were euthanized. But then apparently the following day, they were still looking for monkeys. So Fallon, who will be on preventative medicine for about 2 weeks, shared a letter she got from the CDC, in which told her that she was within 5 feet of the crates holding the monkeys and not wearing personal protective equipment, she should be alerted to any illness in the next month. That's the letter you want. from the CDC say, hey, if you were within 5 feet of you touch these monkeys, you best stay away from her. So really, she needs to be in isolation, you know. And now they're treating her for rabies, preventive treatment for rabies. What did these monkeys have that was airborne like that, or saliva transferred like that, that this woman immediately got ill? I mean, that's the scary part. And they're transporting this on American highways with a pickup truck pulling some trailer. You know, that also needs to be investigated, right? Peter criticized CDC for what it considers shoddy follow-up in the aftermath of the incident. Persons scratched or bitten by the monkey are at risk for the herpes B virus, as well as other diseases, including salmonella, tuberculosis, yellow fever, and other illnesses. So stay away from monkeys. Reports from the scene suggested that feces and urine from the terrified monkeys were reportedly smeared across the highway as crates. That's sad. Sad. They don't want to be in the back of some truck in the winter, dark-ass truck, cruising down the highway, then get into an accident. They weren't strapped in. They're kind of just monkeying around. Flew from the truck. And the CDC should be scrambling to ensure that numerous people who were at the scene aren't in danger. So not only do you have that, you got the feces. Anybody driving through that on their car tires, man, and when feces dries, it gets airborne, goes up. Ugh. I'll tell you, you can see how things are going to happen in Pennsylvania. Although Pennsylvania's like that, you know, it really is. Let's see. So, follow-up is not only important by passerbys who came across the accident, but for the first responders, senior science advisor for primate experimentation at PETA said, I'm surprised the CDC has not been more responsive to the first responders on this. After Fallon checked on the health of the pickup truck driver, the passenger of the crash site, told USA Today, she began checking the trailer. It had been pulling some crates around the trailer. The animals all over the place. thought they were cats. Meow. Infectious cats, infectious monkeys. Oh, take your pick. She said, here we go. She pulled up a cloth covering one of the crates and stuck her fingers inside the chicken wire, not knowing what was in there. So talk about, all right, you know, this person's just stupid. You don't do something like that. What the hell's wrong with you? Put your fingers inside some stuff. You don't know what the hell's in there. It doesn't matter what's in there. You just don't do that. She got bad parents. They should have told her at some point in her life, don't do that. You just don't do it. She puts her fingers inside. I hear this weird noise. When she tried to get a closer look, it just pops his head up, hisses at me. It's a monkey. It's a monkey! She got that song. A monkey! After the incident, Fallon said she developed symptoms and went to the emergency room where she exposed a whole bunch of other people and first responders there. Doctors, nurses, everything you think of. Sunday, where she began a series of rabies shots and antibiotics. She had an open cut that concerned healthcare workers and tested negative for COVID. Oh, at least that's something. At least there you got something. You know? It ain't all bad, although she's being treated. You know, rabies shots and all that, it's no fun game. I mean, and they don't even know what the deal is. And they probably won't even tell her what the monkeys were infected with to begin with, because it's not her information. It's not her need to know, right? That's how it goes. That's the reality of how it goes. Fallon, who was 45, like Drew Barrymore, is uncertain if the symptoms are related because her family had been ill recently too. Ah, so was it the ill family or the infectious monkeys that spat in your face and made you all sick? Let's think about this. All right. She's like, so I'm like, maybe that's where the symptoms are coming from, because I was around people that had COVID-19. This woman's like begging. She's like hoping she has COVID-19. That's pretty bad if you're hoping I got some monkey just spit in my face, but I think I got the COVID. You know? No, it wasn't the monkey. It's the COVID. He keeps testing negative for COVID. God damn it. I know I've got it. It's not the monkey. All right. It's like I went from a monkey situation to a COVID party situation. There you go. She's got an interesting life. USDA, so she got attacked by the monkey, and she immediately had the pink eye and all these things, then goes to a party. Oh my God. This is why all these zombie movies start in Pennsylvania. Exactly. Oh. It's also why I stay inside a lot. I'm not in Pennsylvania. I'm close. You know? I'm close. USDA spokesman Andrea Bell. Andre. Andre Bell told USA Today the agency is looking into PETA's letter. That's great. The CDC did not respond to requests. They're busy. They're busy messing with other stuff. So, yeah, it's going to get just pushed to the wayside. But this woman's got some kind of thing now, some monkeypox going on. And that's exactly how it happens. That's exactly how dangerous the highways are. Really, you never know what the hell's next to you in a truck or something. You never know what's transporting, right? It's just up to you to stay away from it. So, Peter Dinklage, Donglage. You know what Peter Dinklage is? Dinklage. I had no idea who he was until I saw him crying about the seven dwarfs and using profanities. What the F are you doing? What the F are you doing? Disney World. And this is the problem, right, with people who are offended by everything. You know, you can't make them all happy because then there'll be nothing left. And Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs, is by no means a diss to short people, midgets, whatever you want to call them, whatever they call themselves, you know, whatever, people. You want to be called people? You're people. This guy looks angry to begin with. I bet he's not a happy guy. I bet he's not a happy guy in general because I can see his face. He doesn't have any smile marks. You know, like people who smile a lot have like the crow's feet and the smile marks. He's got nothing. He's like look like an angry little dude. Peter Dinklage is not having Disney's new live action remake of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. The actor, who currently stars in Joe Wright's musical Cyrano and is best known for his role in the Game of Thrones. See, that's why I don't know him. I never watched the Game of Thrones. It was too weird for me. I think every time I saw commercials for it, there was like this chick doing it with a dragon and having dragon kids. That's too much for me. You know, I can't handle it. I can't. I'm more of a Weather Channel kind of guy. Something, I don't know. I like dragons, but you know, I would advise the dragons not to have relations with human women. But anyway, so this guy was in the Game of Thrones and was on Marc Maron's WTF podcast Monday. Dinkage comments. All right, la, la, la. Let me get past this stupid. Where he unloaded on upcoming live action remake, calling it effing backwards. He said, literally no offense to anyone. You know, when people start saying that, they're about to unload. No offense, but it's always the big but. Dinklage said to Madden, Maron, Moron, he's like, but I was a little taken aback. This is what he said. But I was a little taken aback when they were very proud to cast the Latina actress as Snow White. You're still telling the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Take a step back and look at what you're doing there. It makes no sense to me. So he's taken back by the Latina chick. Because that's Hollywood now. They're replacing everybody white with everybody else. And what I hear from the black community is like all these superheroes now, they're just making black that were white before. That's not satisfying what they want in the black community to have superheroes, their own superheroes. You know what I mean? You're just replacing one for the other. And it's just, you know, mainly, you know, lip service and stuff like that. You're not really fixing anything or integrating, if you want to say. Right? Although, I must say, I've seen, like, I'm not really into a superhero type of thing, but the Captain America, like, they got that, I see commercials, there's, like, a black dude who found the shield, and then he's getting into that. That's kind of cool, passing the shield on from one person to the other. You know, I'm into that, even though I'm not really into this whole superhero thing. I'm more of a Legion of Doom kind of guy, you know? Remember Legion of Doom? They always had so much more fun. They laughed a lot more, too. You know, superheroes only laughed, like, kind of at the end when they conquered something. These other guys were laughing all the way through. Even when they got conquered, they laughed. And then they escaped to laugh again. He's like, literally, no offense to anyone, but I was a little taken back when they were very proud to cast Latina actress. Ah! Dinklage is referring to a casting of Rachel Zegler, West Side Story girl. Maria, have you seen the Seven Dwarfs, Maria? Opposite, blah, 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 the Evil Queen. Okay. So, all right, let me get down. The actor continued. You're progressive in one way, but you're still making that effing backwards story about seven dwarfs living in a cave together. What the F are you doing, man? Have I done nothing to advance the cause from my soapbox of small people? I guess I'm not loud enough. I think he's a little short with the whole situation. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, I'm not going to minimize what he's saying, because it's also very important to honor all people and respect all people, no matter how they're made, big, small, whatever, right? This guy's got advantages I don't have. He could drive a Mini Cooper. I can't drive a Mini Cooper. I'm 6'5". I wouldn't even fit. I have to cut a hole in the top or get a convertible. Still, got long legs. I'm not going to do that. Let's see. It should be noted that the dwarfs in Disney's Snow White and Seven Dwarfs didn't actually live in a cave, so his information was not correct. They work in a cave, dude, and there where they mine jewels, right? Don't get Jon Stewart in there. He's going to drag a whole another angle on dwarfs. Whatever. Oh, my God. Keep the actors out of it. Let them act. Let them go and do their thing. They don't know what they're saying. But the seven dwarfs were a very close-knit family, lived in a cottage, you know what I mean? And they helped each other, and they helped this girl. Not that Dinklage is totally opposed to the idea of a new version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. No, it should be Snow White and the Seven Giants. How's that? Like Snow White with a football, a basketball team. How's that? That could be interesting, too. He said, I think also, if you tell the story of Snow White with the most effed up progressive spin on it, let's do it all in. But I just don't know. I think this guy's off the wall. I think he needs to do a show with Drew Barrymore, man. Oh, my God. Dinklage blames the new project on the fact that people don't take risks. People are afraid to take risks because you got little dudes like you going to jump out and be all like, bah! You're effed up. So you want some little guy yelling you're all effed up? And he seems somewhat dejected by the lack of what Marone refers to as a community movement, which could enact some change. What movement? I'm not affiliated with any other groups or anything, but it's such a minority that it causes, well, who the F cares? You know, and that's entertainment. Go tell it to Dorothy, goddammit. You know what I mean? You think those midgets weren't happy when they got a job in Hollywood? You think that, you know, I mean, Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, we're talking about the cartoon, but, you know, like Dorothy with a whole Oz, the midgets and whatever. And those midgets were highly respected. And when they were filming that movie, they tore the shit out of Hollywood. They went running amok. If you know the story behind the story, it is off the wall. A lot of them getting drunk, going crazy, crashing cars. They were living, man. That's when they came to be. You know what? I respect that. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was released 85 years ago this month. And Peter Dinklage is... has not made any kind of contribution to that. He's just venting. He's venting because he thinks that sometimes or somehow he was slighted, you know, from the whole thing. Really, dude? No, he wants to be part of it, right? He wants to what? Because so he can come in and revamp it. You know, how do you what are you gonna change the story? Ugh. Freaks. Freaks. Of course you got 100,000 Russian troops massing on the Ukrainian border. I should slip that in, you know. And what's the moral of today's show? Let's see. A red pill analysis. What's the moral? Number one, don't help any monkeys, right? let responsible people help monkeys. Number two, Drew Barrymore, don't go on a show if you want to talk because you're not going to get a chance. Peter Dinklage, I think he's just real small-minded. You know what I mean? But I'm going to have to read this to you about Adele. And this is how people wear their emotion on their sleeve. I'm going to teach you right now something very important, an observation. Adele couldn't get through rehearsal. She canceled the thing. She has a Las Vegas residency, which means it's a place that you just keep playing and playing and playing. You know, let's see. And 24 hours before the first show, she canceled, right? So her show isn't ready. But the drama behind the scenes was apparently even more intense. Let's see. The singer was shouting, sobbing on the phone to Rich Paul, her sports agent boyfriend of 6 months. No time at all. She's dumping all her emotional baggage on him. He's going to be the emotional tampon, that dude, right? 6 months with Adele, and she's dumping. Have you ever heard any of her songs? They're all about how terrible she treats guys. Basically, Adele's been crying and couldn't get through a single full rehearsal for the past month, said the source linked to the management at Caesar's Palace, where the shows were to take place, just constantly on the phone, with Rich loudly shouting and sobbing. Oh, my God. She ain't bad looking, though. She's very attractive, actually. Not when she's crying. There's a picture of her crying, you know. People, when they cry, make the dumbest faces, and I always have to laugh. I just have to hear, you're so insensitive to my emotions. It's not that. It's just that you look so ridiculously stupid when you're crying. I just can't keep a straight face. She says she's barely rehearsed because she is constantly in the middle of an emotional shootout. An emotional shootout with who? With herself, basically. Or get this dude on the phone. You should change his number. Here's her face again all crying. There are rumblings that are stresses related to Adele's relationship. Her 6 month relationship is like dragging her down. You know, some people need to be miserable, and they look for people just to absorb them and be miserable in that short term relationship, make their lives a living hell. But yet these people have the same emotion all the time with everybody. They're always miserable, right? You got to get on top of that. Can't focus. And you know what her problem is? This is what her problem is. I'm going to end the show. I'm going to tell you exactly. It's not the guy. It's not Las Vegas. It's not anything like that. You know what her problem is? She hasn't done a show in years on stage. She hasn't appeared in front of people in years, really, on stage. You know, and it's for someone like that, like look at a Barbara Streisand who was terrified about going on stage. And then if you don't do it for a while, it gets even worse. And these fears and these anxieties compound. This is her true problem. Not the relationship, not the dude, not any of this other stuff, but the fact that she just hasn't been on stage. And it's just something that she needs to get over. So you know what she should do? This is my advice to you, Adele. You call me right away because I have the answer. But but I'll give you a tidbit taste. You know what you do? You play to a smaller room, unannounced. You go to a place, people don't expect you to be there. Bang, here's Adele. You do a couple of songs, you rock the house, and you're out of there. And that, my friend, will take you to your journey of greatness of doing your residency in Las Vegas until some other crap happens to you. Look at it with this dude. Yeah, she lost a lot of weight. But the decision left thousands of fans who spent as much as $9,000 on tickets. $9,000 for a ticket? I gotta get back in that ticket scalping game. Devastated to only hear the news that it was canceled, boarding the flights bound for Vegas, and then she canceled the show. Yeah, that's her deal, man. You know, so yep, Adele, call me right away. Whatever you got, email me. Whatever you got. And as for me, on the Red Pill News, hope you guys had a wonderful journey. Next week, I want to talk about Alex Rodriguez is reportedly looking for the next J-Lo. He even said, "I'm looking for the next J-Lo." That's the kiss of death, trying to replace one with another. I thought he was doing all right. That's what he said. I know, that's a lie. You know, he wasn't doing all right. Anyway, also Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. There's just crazy stuff. Hey man, and on the first is Chinese New Year. You're the tiger, water tiger, Yang sign. Take your life back, God damn it. I'll see you guys next week on the Red Pill No News. Red Pill Knows. Bye.